Well, good morning, everyone. Let me just find my glasses. So, as always, it's very good to see you all here, to meet together and remember our Lord Jesus, of course, and his sacrifice. So, for my thoughts this morning, I want to share with you some thoughts from Colossians 2, our daily reading. And just starting at verse 1 there, feel free to follow along. And verse 1 reads of Colossians 2, "For I want you to know how much I struggle for you, for those in Laodicea, for all who have never seen me face to face." And in reading on, "Because they are united in love, I pray that their hearts may be encouraged by all the riches that come from a complete understanding of the full knowledge of the Messiah, who is the mystery of God." Let's just repeat that. "I pray that their hearts may be encouraged by all the riches that come from a complete understanding of the full knowledge of the Messiah, who is the mystery of God." It's a fantastic verse, isn't it? The Messiah is indeed the one that we want to fully know, because it's through him that we unlock the meat of the Bible, and everything starts to fall into place. And we read in verse 3, "In him are stored all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So again, this tells us how important the Messiah is. And we know this, don't we? But it's through the understanding of the Messiah that we do unlock the wisdom of God, and we find out where the only true treasure in life is located. So a good visual image of this, if we're walking along the beach and we find a bottle that's sort of washed up, and inside we find a dusty old worn-out map, and it has a big red X mark on it where the treasure is located. The only problem with the map, though, is that we need to know where the map is of. If it's some desert island somewhere and we found the map in New Zealand, it doesn't mean anything to us. And secondly, what's at the X spot? Is it maybe a box of rusty old nails? Could be anything. But the thing is, with God, we have all these questions answered. We have the whole guidebook to life in our Bibles, don't we? And it'll lead us to the spot we need to be in. And we don't have to guess what the treasure is, because we have God's word in our grasp. So, after this, Paul goes on and says, "In him are stored all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Then Paul reveals why he made this statement in verse 4. "I say this so that no one will mislead you with plausible arguments." Our Father in heaven, he's given us the treasure of the Messiah. And Paul is highlighting just how important it is in our life. It's because of the Messiah that we will not be misled by other philosophies or so-called treasures of mankind. Or at least, that's the hope of Paul in verse 8 further down. "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." And Paul goes on again to remind us of why these things are no good in the next verse. And it is in Christ that we have the whole fullness of God. He reveals God to us in human form. And as it says in verse 10, "We have been filled in him, our head, the one with all authority and power." It's by acknowledging Christ and being baptized that we start the journey. It is by our living actions that we grow closer to God, and by the grace of God, we will be made alive together with the Messiah when the time is right. And that's why we're all here this morning, isn't it? So with this fantastic treasure idea, so the fantastic treasure is the full knowledge of the Messiah, as we read in Colossians 2. So we're still drawn away and distracted at times, aren't we? It takes a great deal of effort to serve God and to keep his son Christ as our central example in life. Let's take a look at the Proverbs, one of my favourite sections of scripture for absorbing large amounts of day-to-day compressed wisdom in the shortest amount of time possible. So let's take a look at a few Proverbs about riches, treasures and wisdom. And what better place to start than Proverbs 1 verse 2. Now feel free to just listen on. So Proverbs 1 verse 2. "These Proverbs are for gaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring the discipline that provides wise behaviour, righteousness, justice, and upright living, for giving prudence to the naive, and knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and increase their learning. Let the person of understanding receive guidance and understanding proverbs, clever sayings, words of the wise and their riddles. These are self-explanatory verses, aren't they? But if we come down to verse 7, the key, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So the proverb goes on to mention that many people, sadly, they did not follow God's wisdom, did they? And it's no different now. But individually and as a group of believers, we can and we do seek out the wisdom of God, don't we? So Proverb 2 starts, "My son, if you accept my words and treasure my instructions, make your ear attractive to wisdom and turning your heart to understanding. If indeed you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and learn to know God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." So again, these verses, they highlight this idea of treasure, specifically how we must actively seek it out. And that treasure, of course, is the wisdom which is found in God's words and his instructions. So the very words that we can read in our Holy Bible, but most importantly, from our reading of the whole Scripture, we come to know again the wisdom that comes from the full knowledge, as it said in Colossians 2, the full knowledge of Christ. He's the producer of our faith, who endured the things of life and joined with God in his kingdom that we also aim towards. So, Proverbs 3 next continues this theme of wisdom. It was written at a time before Christ had come, of course. But it just oozes all the things we want to learn in the New Testament and has added meaning, especially in the light of the verses we read in Colossians 2 about wisdom coming through the full knowledge of Christ. So, Proverbs 3, verse 1 through to verse 12. "My son, don't forget my instruction and keep my commands carefully in mind. For they will add length to your days, years to your life, and abundant peace to you. Do not let gracious love and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and find favor and a good reputation with God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will bring healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with abundance and your vats will burst open with new wine. My son, do not reject the Lord's discipline and do not despise his correction, because the Lord corrects the person he loves, just as a father corrects the son he delights in." So the next two verses, 13 and 14, they go on to reinforce what we looked at in Colossians. How joyful is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, because her profit is better than the profit of silver and her yield than fine gold. And as we know, the real treasure, again, is the full knowledge of the Messiah, in whom are stored all wisdom and knowledge. So if we come across to Proverbs 8, it talks about wisdom personified, and just verses 18 and 19 there. And that reads, "Wealth and honor accompany me, as do enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, better than even refined gold, and my benefit surpasses the purest silver." And Proverbs 8 continues on to explain how God's wisdom was present from the creation of the world. And in verses 32 and 34 of Proverbs 8, we know that those who follow God's wisdom are blessed. There's so many other verses in Proverbs and throughout the Bible that we could take a look at when it comes to wisdom and treasures. But we get the picture, don't we? So the key point is simple. Any part of our life that is without Christ is also without true wisdom. Christ, he is the key to God's plan. He is our example to follow. And he's the reason we're here this morning, isn't it? To remember his marvelous life's work. To remember the hardships that he faced, but overcame through applying the full wisdom of God. So, which is better? Wisdom and treasure from God, or wisdom and treasure from man? We all know the answer, don't we? But it all depends on our focus in life. If we want a bit of temporary fun in this life, then sure, the treasures of man will be a blast. But in the long term, they're empty, aren't they? As we read in Ecclesiastes 1. Utterly pointless, says the teacher. Absolutely pointless. Everything is pointless. What does a man gain from all the works that he undertakes on earth? We know again that what we can do on earth is like vanity and chasing after the wind. But our focus, of course, is on the things of God. And we understand that long-term plan that he's put in place for those that love him and call on his name with a willing and loyal heart. So mankind as a whole, including us, we're so easily led away by different lusts and desires. But there are times, events, and people in history who did apply God's wisdom and sought the treasures that mattered most, and whose stories we read throughout the year in the Bible. And we read in Hebrews 11 of all those who died in faith awaiting the resurrection. We can learn from them, don't we? And we do learn from them. We also learn from those around us, our brothers and sisters, who also call on the name of the Lord with us. So we need to continue associating with one another, don't we? With all those around the world who call on God's name, building one another up in this most precious treasure of life. Again, the full knowledge of the Messiah who showed us more fully the things of God. All right, so as I get to some closing thoughts, I suppose, some long closing thoughts. There's a phrase we hear from time to time, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And this is quoted by the Messiah himself in Matthew 6. So let's get some context from Matthew 6, in verses 19 to 24. Stop storing up treasures for yourselves on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But keep on storing up treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus uses this metaphor to better explain the idea in verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. Therefore, if the light within you has turned into darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, because either he will hate one and love the other, or be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and riches, or whatever treasure it might be we have in life. So thinking back to the verses we read in Colossians 2, our treasure is a complete understanding of the full knowledge of the Messiah, isn't it? Because through him, through the Messiah, we have a clear path to serve our God. So our Lord Jesus is speaking from experience here. He was the only man to overcome the temptations of this world and to fully set his sights on the things of God. So let's liken this idea to another powerful idea from Jesus in Matthew 13 and verse 44, which reads, "The kingdom from heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field that a man found and hid. In his excitement, he went and sold everything he had and bought that field." It's the same idea, isn't it, as in Matthew 6. The man in the story, he sold everything he had. He abandoned his other possessions, his goals, because he had found the ultimate treasure, which is, of course, the kingdom from heaven. And that is brought about through our Lord Jesus. And the very same idea is found in the next two verses of Matthew 13. So reading from verse 45. "Again, the kingdom from heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he found a very valuable pearl, he went and sold everything that he had brought, everything, and brought it." So let's consider for a second, who is this one that's selling everything to obtain the hidden treasure? Can you think of anyone who did throw aside everything to seek out a treasure? So of course there have been people who have done that for worldly pursuits. But ultimately, people die, don't they? And we leave our possessions behind for another. I think Jesus is talking from his own experiences here. He did throw aside all earthly desires, even to the point of being crucified unjustly. But he did it knowing that he was carrying out the purpose of our great God and Creator, the one who was willing and able to raise him from the dead to be so much more. So we struggle, don't we, brothers and sisters, to commit our all to God. There are so many exciting things or distractions, both good and bad, that can get in the way of God. It's something different for every person. Holidays, our appearances, things, family, money, they're all different snags that can tie us to this life. So I have a bit of a recent example, I suppose, in my life. I currently have a house being built for me, and the roofing iron just went on this week. And things are coming along nicely. But this house, it has a risk of becoming a treasure for me. It's something that I could put too much focus on. And it could draw me away from the more important things of the full knowledge of the Messiah and of our God. Can a house do anything for me in the long run? It can keep me warm and sheltered for a time. But nothing we forge with our own hands lasts forever. More importantly, can a house save my soul from death? Well, no, it cannot. All men die. It is only by the grace of God that we can hope for something more. A house or whatever possession we chase in life, friends, family, anything at all, goals, it's all just a collection of materials on this earth. We can enjoy the things of life while they're there, but at the end of the day, we need to be prepared to leave it all behind. If God sets us on a different path in life, one day Christ will return. And if we are alive at that time, could we turn our backs on everything we have and just leave it behind? It's a tough question to ask ourselves. Could we just turn our backs and leave everything we have behind? So we're here this morning because we do believe in Christ. We do believe in God. And again, we ask ourselves these questions to constantly remind ourselves what is most important in life. We need to live now as if the things of life are all secondary to the full knowledge of the Messiah and of our God. So just a parting thought. So when we offer our personal prayer of thanks shortly in the bread and the wine, just remember exactly how amazing the example of Jesus is. He died in order that we may live together with him. He fully showed us where the real treasure lies. And finally, I'll leave you with this thought from Timothy. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. Let's be there with him.